Good morning, everybody.
Good morning.
Glad to have you here this morning, whether you're in person or those joining us online. We are so glad to get together to lift up the name of Jesus. He is worthy, as Brad said, no matter what the season of life and the ups and downs every day, he is worthy of our praises. So we are continuing in a series that we started last week called Family Matters, and I titled the message today, Let Us Encourage One Another, and I hope you're going to see why by the end of the message today. But if you have your Bibles with you, I hope you do, we're going to look at Hebrews 10. If you would turn to Hebrews 10 in your Bibles, we're going to start in verse 19 here in a few minutes, but we're going to look at a few other scriptures along the way. But we'll come back to Hebrews 10, so keep a thumb there, even if you turn the page and go somewhere else, we'll come back to it. So, anybody else after your morning devotions and coffee watch news or maybe tune in to read some news this morning? And I do that sometimes. I don't know why. It's usually not anything new. It's more the same. It's really not news. It's funny too because the headlines a lot of times it'll say breaking news and it's like it's life on earth still messy. You know, breaking news. People are still broken. You know, breaking news. Life on earth is still difficult. That's not really breaking news to me. That's the same as yesterday. Well, you know, life on earth is really messy. You know, that the longer I live, the more that I look forward to heaven. And, you know, not that I mean, there's so many blessings here, and there's so much of the goodness of God here, but I'm looking forward to just the absence of sin and all the consequences of sin and just the beauty of heaven someday. But God's got a plan for us being here, right? To glorify himself and to make himself known. And it's a beautiful purpose. And it's beautiful what he does through his spirit and his people. But you know, we do have times in our daily lives where we get a little discouraged. We get caught up in the difficulties of the things we see around us. We get overwhelmed by some of the events. We get weary of ourselves sometimes. You know, just sometimes I'm my worst enemy many weeks. And I heard a preacher say before, the tough thing about the Christian life is it's so daily. You know, it's a day at a time. That's the hard thing about it. It's just challenging. It's not like we can just get the victory one time and then it's celebrating for the rest of your life. It's challenging. It can be difficult. And so, as believers, we need encouragement. I need encouragement. Anybody else need encouragement? Okay, I'm guessing you do too, because the Word of God says that we're to encourage one another, and so I'm guessing because God says that, we actually need encouraged. So that's probably all of us if we're honest. Sometimes in the midst of difficulties, especially when they go on, and I think we've seen weeks or months of extra challenges here in our country and across the world, sometimes we start feeling a little overwhelmed, and sometimes even thinking, you know, I just don't feel sufficient or strong enough. You know, sometimes we go through losses and challenges and things in relationships, and we just, you know, we know that God is sovereign. We know he's got a plan. We know he's working good and everything, but we just sometimes, you know, honestly, we go to him and say, Lord, I don't feel equipped to deal with all of this at once. You know, if there's one more challenge, it's going to be too much, and then there's three more challenges, right? And sometimes it's a little tough, and we need to be encouraged. So let's just make it personal this morning. I want us to have some application time and some personal time this morning. Who has really felt very challenged and a little bit, at least a little discouraged, if not a lot discouraged in the last 2 weeks? Last 2 weeks. You've had moments at least of discouragement in the last 2 weeks? Okay, I'll do double time on that for anybody who didn't. I'll raise my hand for anybody who didn't. Well, there's times that you know, it can even lead to being a little bit irritated with the Lord, where we're just not thankful, you know, as we should be every day. Like Brad was saying a little bit ago, you know, we should be praising him every day. We really should. No matter how misguided our hearts get and what we feel and think about stuff, the reality is he's always awesome. And he's always good. And he always loves you. And he's always working good in your life. But sometimes we forget that and we're not as grateful as we ought to be. You know, sometimes that can lead to a lot of condemnation of self, to where I just think, you know, if I was just a better Christian, I'm kind of grumbling today about all these things, and if I was just more of a super Christian like the Apostle Paul, I wouldn't be grumbling. You know, yes, there's difficulties, but I'm just so broken or imperfect or immature or what have you, and I'm just not where I ought to be, and we start feeling condemnation. I just want to encourage you with this, that the Bible tells us that there is no condemnation for those in Christ Jesus. So if you're feeling overwhelmed or you're feeling discouraged, and that's okay, that's normal. But if the devil's telling you that it's your fault and it's because you're so broken and you're so weak and you're so this and imperfect and whatever, tell him he can take his lies back to hell. Because God says of his children that he sees us as clean and perfect and beautiful and righteous because of what Christ did, that we have the righteousness of Christ. And so that's what he sees. He sees his children that he dearly loves, even though we're his messy kids. We're his kids, praise the Lord. And that's how he sees us as family. But the reality is that in our family, whether it's family at home or church family, sometimes we get discouraged, right? We get a little bit overwhelmed. And I believe that today, through his word, that God's Spirit is going to give us encouragement today. I believe that God is merciful, and even if some of the mess in my life is my own fault, God's still merciful, and he's still going to encourage me today, and I think he's going to encourage you as well through his word. And we're going to take time to not only hear the word, but we're going to apply it today. So Hebrews 10, starting in verse 19. I'm reading from the New American Standard today. Therefore, brethren, since we have confidence to enter the holy place by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way, meaning a way that is effectual, a way that actually works in practice, which he inaugurated for us through the veil, that is, his flesh. So here in Hebrews is telling us that Jesus, by his own flesh, by the giving of his body on the cross, that he's interceding for us, not just with words, but he's interceding with his very life to save us. You know, because we believe in who Jesus is and what he's done for us, we can have confidence. No matter how much our heart may trouble us or our thinking may get off track, we're not trusting in ourselves. We're trusting in Jesus Christ and what he's done. And because of what he's done for us, the Bible says we can enter into confidently, with great assurance, we can enter into the holy place. We can enter into the presence of God. It's an allusion here. It's a reference to the temple and the holy place and the holy of holies where the ark was and the presence of God was. And the Bible's saying you have a confident assurance that you can enter into the presence of God now because of the body of Jesus given for you. So do you guys know what was kept in the Holy of Holies? The Ark of the Covenant. The ark was kept there. In Hebrews 9, if you turn there for a moment, starting in verse 3, I want to take a look at this. Hebrews 9, 3 through verse 5, it says, behind the second veil was a tabernacle which is called the Holy of Holies, having a golden altar of incense and the Ark of the Covenant, covered on all sides with gold, in which was a golden jar holding the manna, and Aaron's rod, which budded, and the tables of the covenant, and above it were cherubim of glory overshadowing the mercy seat. But of these things we cannot now speak in detail. Actually, we're going to speak a little more detail this morning about that. In the Ark of the Covenant, in the place of the presence of God, is a jar of manna. You can read about this more in Exodus 16. When God's people were in the wilderness, God provided for them. He gave them manna to eat. And their response was to celebrate the goodness of God with thanksgiving. No, actually, they were grumbling. They were really not grateful as they should be. They were complaining. They didn't think that was good enough. Along with that was Aaron's rod, which budded with flowers and almonds. It was a sign, God said, in Numbers 17, it was a sign to rebellious people. It was a sign of God's leading them. That was a symbol. Aaron's rod was a symbol of God's leading the people, and how this rod, as long as God was present, there was life. Even though it was cut off from the tree, right, this staff, there was life there in God's presence. But it was a sign to a rebellious people of the presence of God. And the Bible tells us that also in the ark were the tables of the covenant, the tablets of the Ten Commandments. And we know how awesome we've all done keeping the Ten Commandments, right? 7 billion people or so on earth, how many have kept the commandments perfectly? Zero. Nobody. The broken Ten Commandments are a sign of our brokenness, a sign of our inability to keep God's law, a sign that we all fall short, and in ourselves we're insufficient. These are symbols. And the place where God's presence is a collection of symbols that humanity is broken and fails and is insufficient. But there's something covering those symbols. Something covering the ark. In the ark, we've got the manna of the malcontents who grumble at God's provision. We've got the reminding rod of our rebellion against God leading us. We've got the cracked commandments because we couldn't obey God. And above all of that is the mercy seat, God's mercy seat. Above that is the place where Jesus invites us in to the presence of God by giving himself in our place. Not because we have it together, not because we never grumble or never fail or we're unfaithful, but because we are. And his body, his sacrifice is paid for that. And so we come and we receive freely, confidently, the mercy of God. You guys might remember a story in Matthew 9. It records the story of Jesus hanging out, having dinner with some people. The Bible says it's tax collectors and sinners, and Jesus' disciples and some Pharisees are hanging out. They see what's going on. And they start hassling Jesus' disciples about it. And they say, "Why is your teacher eating with tax collectors and somebody that they identify as different than themselves, sinners? Why is Jesus," and you got to understand, they're not asking an honest question here. They're making an accusation against Jesus. This is a put down. This is what it's intended to be, right? Why is Jesus, if he's all that, why does he hang out with sinners? Consider the question here and who's asking it. These are people who think, as they go about making sacrifices in the temple, where the ark is, with symbols of man's insufficiency and sin and brokenness, where they go and they burn the incense, that that's for those poor sinners. They're saying here, when they're saying Jesus is hanging out with those sinners, it's implied people different than us. Because we're keeping the commandments. We're grateful that God didn't make us like those sinners in there. We're following God's lead. We're doing all the right things here. We're the good people who don't really need God's mercy. And because we don't see that we need God's mercy, we're not giving it either. Verse 12. On hearing this, Jesus said, "It is not the healthy who need a doctor, but the sick. But go and learn what this means. I desire mercy, not sacrifice. I have not come to call the righteous, but sinners." But sinners. Jesus is saying, you guys are so focused on yourselves. You guys are so caught up in what you think you know. But there's some stuff you haven't studied very well. You need to go and study mercy because you don't get it. You don't get it. Because the place that they should have known better than anybody, the temple, the Holy of Holies, and the ark, and the symbols of man's sin. They should have understood this more than anybody else, and they completely didn't get it. That the place of man's brokenness and need is where God meets us and welcomes us. And he says, come confidently. By the blood of Jesus, come confidently to me and receive mercy and blessing. Let's go back to Hebrews 10. So what's the application of this? What's the repercussions here? Hebrews 10, let's look at verse 19 again. Therefore, brethren, since we have confidence to enter the holy place by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way, which he inaugurated for us through the veil, that is his flesh. Verse 21, and since we have, praise God, we have a great priest over the house of God. Praise the Lord, he's not like those unmerciful Pharisees. Let us draw near. This is what the Lord wants us to do. Let us draw near with a sincere heart, and I love the wording here, in full assurance. Let us draw near with a sincere heart in full assurance. And nowhere there does it say, come here in your perfection. Come here in your goodness. Come here because you've got it all together. Come here because you've kept all of God's laws today. Come here because anything to do with you. He says, come here with a sincere heart, sincerely believing in Jesus, sincerely believing in what he's done, that his blood is sufficient, and that because of his blood, his sacrifice for us, that God sees us as his cleansed, loved children, having the righteousness of Christ, and we are welcomed into his presence. No matter how many sins you have over your life or over this week or this morning on your way here to worship the Lord, no matter how many sins you have or how bad those sins are, his sacrifice is sufficient, and he does not wait to condemn you. He waits to give mercy. Come with gratitude for that. Come with thanksgiving. Come celebrating. Come joyful. Come with encouragement that our confidence is not in ourselves. It's in him. It's in him. Well, guys, I said we're going to have some application today. So I know that there are days where we hear the word, and I know his spirit speaks to us, but we go out, and I kind of hope I apply it, and I kind of hope and pray that you apply it. We're just going to pause today for a minute and take time to apply this. Jesus invites us to draw near to God with sincere hearts. We're just going to take a minute to quietly do that, to just allow the Holy Spirit to draw your heart to your Father's heart, who loves you and invites you to draw near, and who looks on you with mercy. And if there's a voice of condemnation there, that's not from him. If you are in Christ, that's not from him. His voice calling you is a voice of love and compassion and forgiveness. Heavenly Father, by the new and living way that you provided, by the blood of Jesus, God, we draw near to you now, confidently, in full assurance that you hear our prayers and that you receive us with love and kindness and mercy. Thank you, God, for filling our hearts with your Spirit, God, with your love today, overflowing love for you, God, and for each other. Amen. Amen. Okay, guys, let's look at verse 23. The next application here today. Let us hold fast the confession of our hope. Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful. He is faithful to keep every dotted I and crossed T of his word. He is faithful. The Bible says even when we're faithless, he remains faithful. Faithful to who? Well, he's faithful to you. He's faithful to you. He's faithful to me. Most importantly, he's faithful to his Heavenly Father. And he has said that everyone committed to me, I'm not going to lose one. So in the midst of any discouragement or in the midst of an overwhelming week or challenges or whatever, you need to be reminded, you need to hang on to that confession of hope that no matter what, come what may, no matter what, he has you in his hands and there's nothing that can take you out of it. Nothing. So I want to take a moment to apply this together, to confess together our hope and our assurance in Jesus Christ today. So we don't have to say all the scripture addresses, but I'd like you to share the scriptures with me today. If you would say this with me, Mark has slides for each one, and we'll just go through each one here. Jesus, we confess that you are Lord, just as the Bible says. We confess that you are the Christ, the Son of the living God, just as the Bible says. We confess that you died for our sins, that you were buried, and that you were raised on the third day, just as the Bible says. We confess that our salvation is based on your sacrifice alone, not on our good deeds, just as the Bible says. We confess that you have given us your Holy Spirit, who fills our hearts with your love, just as the Bible says. We confess that even though we fail, you are faithful, unfaithful to you, that you remain faithful to us, just as the Bible says. Jesus, all our hope is in you, just as the Bible says. Amen. Amen. Even when we mess up reading scripture. Let's look at verse 23. Let us hold fast to the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful. And then verse 24. Let us consider how to stimulate one another to love and good deeds, not forsaking our own assembling together, as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another. But encouraging one another all the more as you see the day drawing near. The day of the Lord. Jesus is coming back. You can amen and dance and clap for that. That is definitely worth celebrating. Anybody else think that that's going to be soon? I do. Yeah. Well, you know, it's sooner today than when we first believed. Yes. But God's word, you know, is so clear that we need to continue to assemble together and we need to continue to show the love of God to him and each other and to a watching world. We need to continue to do good and we need to continue to encourage each other. And this is huge, guys, because I tell you, one of the darts of the enemy right now, one of the fiery darts of the enemy, is to discourage and divide. And you can believe that as much as he's hurling at the poor folks who don't know Christ, he's really trying to fling them at the church. Because we're the ones who have the gospel. We're the ones that have the hope. So let us encourage one another. This will be our third application today. Everybody needs encouragement, guys. Everybody needs encouragement. I do. I do. I do. Amen. I mean, I'm just like you guys. You know, I have days where I'm really beating myself up. I have days where I'd rather, I mean, I don't know what it is, probably just the tactic of the enemy to get me to be critical of other people so I'm not thinking about my own issues. You know? And there's a lot going on out there that's really off base and not biblical, and it's easy to be pretty critical. And it's okay to call sin, sin, and it's okay to say good is good and that evil is evil. That's great. Or to be truth tellers. That's part of love, is telling the truth. But are we speaking it in love? And are we keeping the main thing the main thing? Guys, I see so many believers elevating other issues, important issues, but elevating them to the point of belittling their brothers and sisters. I mean, to the point, elevating other issues to the point that they're really trying to tear each other down, when the Bible says, as the day is drawing near, and what we're seeing in our culture is a sign. Okay, we see the clouds, we see the weather, we know that rain's coming, right? It's a sign from the Lord. The day is near. The day of the Lord is near. And he says, all the more, as you see the day approaching, encourage. Encourage. We're to be cheerleaders, among other things. We're to be ambassadors for Christ. We're to share the gospel. But relating to your brothers and sisters, guys, we are to be encouragers. Absolutely. Cheerleaders for each other. And I'm a little biased. None of you are as pretty as my favorite cheerleader, is my wife. Beautiful cheerleader back at Taylor High School in the day, and a beautiful cheerleader still for me. We're to be cheerleaders for each other. Hebrews 12, starting in verse 1, God tells us here, therefore, since we have so great a cloud of witnesses surrounding us, let us lay aside every encumbrance and sin which so easily entangles us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, fixing our eyes on Jesus. One of my favorite phrases. One of the most helpful phrases to me. Fixing our eyes on Jesus. I look at too many other things. The author and perfecter of faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and who has sat down, another beautiful term, he's not pacing back and forth. He's got things under control. Sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Verse 3, For consider him. These are challenging times. There are people that want to tear us down. But consider Jesus, who has endured such hostility by sinners against himself. And he said, Father, forgive, so that you will not grow weary or lose heart. Let us encourage one another. Let us encourage one another. I want us to take a moment again to not just be hearers of the word, but be doers of the word today. So I want to invite you, in this time, for those around you, for somebody else, for a brother here who needs to hear it, for a sister who needs to hear it, because I promise you, somebody needs to hear this from you today. And for me, maybe somebody online watching. I'll just have you repeat after me. I'll just read each line and you guys can repeat after me. But if you could say this from the heart, I hope you will, for somebody who needs to hear this today, and receive this from somebody else. I love you.
I am for you.
I am cheering you on. Don't give up. Set aside every distraction and sin. Together, we will keep running the race that is set before us. Keep your eyes fixed on Jesus.
Keep your eyes fixed on Jesus.
Don't lose heart.
By grace, through faith in Christ, you are God's child.
By grace, through faith in Christ, you are God's child.
And he will help you make it across the finish line.
And he will help you across the finish line.
And if you're like me, the great news is he's going to do more than help you. He's going to carry you. Thank you, Lord. Especially in the hardest times, he's going to carry you. He's going to carry you. Praise the Lord. Be an encourager. Be an encourager. Whatever you take away from this time together today, God's word is so clear. As the day approaches, encourage one another. Speak blessing to your brothers and sisters. Speak truth, but speak life and blessing. Help each other. Encourage each other. I heard an illustration from Tony Evans that reminded me of what we talked about this morning. And he said that there was a father and a son. They were walking along the beach, and they saw the beach was just covered with starfish. And so the dad bent down, and he picked up a starfish, and he tossed it back into the water. And the son did what his dad did. He saw what dad did, so he did the same thing. He picked one up and he threw it out into the water, and they just slowly made their way down the beach. They kept doing this, throwing more starfish, and after several minutes, the son looked back, and the beach was still covered with starfish. And he said, "Daddy, there's just so many starfish. It just doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. There's too many of them. It doesn't matter what we're doing." And his dad said, "To the ones that we pick up and throw into the water, it matters." So you may not feel like you're a super encourager, but you can encourage somebody. And to the one person that you encourage today, it matters. It matters. 1 Thessalonians 5:11, the Bible says, "Therefore encourage one another and build up one another, just as you were doing." Amen. Amen. Let me close this in prayer, and worship team, you can come up. Lord, thank you that as your word tells us, and we believe, God, that by a new and living way, by the blood of Christ, God, that you invite us into your presence. And that you give us your Spirit, God, to help us receive your love and to love you back and to love each other, Lord. And we pray that you would just fill us to overflowing, God. Fill us to overflowing with your agape love so that we can love you back and that we can lovingly encourage each other and lovingly speak truth to a world that's believing too many lies. God, help us to cheer each other on, to encourage each other in the race, God. Help us to remember what your word says, that we are to do it all the more in the time we're in. To overcome evil with good. Help us to love like you love. Help us to encourage like you encourage, God. Help us to have mercy. And to give mercy to others, even as you give mercy to us. It's in Jesus' name we ask. Amen.